This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, the Bear, Chris Felica from Fox Sports will join us. We will go over the Final Four as we are set. We are down to four teams, and it is all chalk, more chalk than a sidewalk, as the four number one seeds will square off next week in San Antonio, Saturday, then into the Monday. And we'll discuss maybe some baseball here as we got a full weekend or so in the books. So excited to talk to Bear. And I'll just start with the college basketball before I give some thoughts on the games for next weekend and maybe some baseball here. So we got some day games on Monday afternoon, which I always like. But thank God for Texas Tech, I'll say that, because outside of them, you had Purdue and Houston on Friday night, which was fun. The game ended basically 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. But that was an interesting game, tied with a couple seconds to go. Houston gets the inbound play back to the inbounder, laying at the buzzer, or thereabouts the buzzer. Of course, you have to review it for an hour to make sure there's 0.8 or 0.9. You know, and Lapis doing the game. So, oh, they should give a foul. No, they should not give a foul with 0.9 seconds left. But other than that, Texas Tech was really the story of the weekend, because the games, and very rarely you can say this, where four Elite Eight games on a weekend, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. If you watch the first one on Saturday, Texas Tech, Florida, which was a classic, you can basically take the rest of the weekend off and feel like you didn't miss much. And that's very rare. And I'll get to that game now, because that was such a meltdown by Texas Tech to be up nine with a few minutes to go. And you could say, you know what, they shouldn't have been there. Arkansas let it get away. So the two Texas Tech games this weekend in the past four or five days, or three or four days here, were really the classics of this weekend. And both featured all-time meltdowns. Texas Tech up by nine. Florida misses a three, and I'll give the Bear credit, although I'm sure the Bear is not in much of a mood to talk about it, because I know he had Texas Tech and Survivor and some other ways, maybe futures on them. All Texas Tech needs to do is grab a rebound. There was like 2:50 left in the game. If they get the rebound and they're up nine, they can bleed clock, and then you could start to taste it. It's very hard to overcome a nine-point deficit under 3 minutes to go. You don't have the ball. But Florida gets an offensive rebound. They bang a three. They foul. It didn't look like they meant to give a foul. It was two and change left, 220, 230 left when they fouled. Didn't need to foul. They got overly aggressive going for the steal, but that one and one can be very dangerous, can be a two-headed sword. And if you miss that front end of the one and one, it's like a turnover. And they missed the front end of the one and one. Florida hits another three, another foul, another missed one and one, and then eventually it's tied. And before you could blink, this goes from nine to zero very quickly. I actually thought Harlan, who everybody loves as an announcer, did a terrible job relaying, capturing the moment of just how ridiculous and how quick this comeback was between the missed one and ones, the threes by Florida. And even after all that, Texas Tech's got the ball, tie game. They score, take a two-point lead, and Florida hits another three to go up by one. And that's where the game got a little wonky. I think it was down three. Texas Tech didn't score, and then they're pressing, going for a foul. They got a foul, and they were about to get a 10-second violation caused on Florida. Florida was completely unaware of the clock, but the Texas Tech guy reached right at 21 seconds, where another second, you're going to get a 10-second violation, and that's something they can review, and they did review, and it was the right call. It was just shy of a 10-second violation. Then Florida was able to salt it away with free throws. I thought Harlan did a really poor job of relaying, oh my goodness, what are we watching? Can you guys believe this? He was very subdued. Oh, a three by this guy or three by that guy. He wasn't capturing what a devastating loss that was for Texas Tech, and just how improbable it was. And then the madness of the whole 10-second violation, he kind of undersold that. So I didn't think Harlan had a great game whatsoever. Van Gundy's very good on those games. Bonner, who he does, is the third guy, is completely unnecessary. A lot of time, the three-man booth, much better with two. I know Ian Eagle and Raftery are great together. Grant Hill, kind of excessive, in my opinion. And same thing with Bonner and Van Gundy with Harlan. Bonner doesn't add a lot. Van Gundy does add a lot. He picks up on little things, not afraid to criticize, not afraid to point out things that are stupid. Van Gundy, just like his brother Jeff, was the same way. People complain, it's not, oh, he's cranky, complains about too much. He just points out things that are either flaws in calls or rules. He's not afraid to voice his opinion, and sometimes it annoys people, but I think he does a great job. But just a brutal loss for Texas Tech, and Florida advances. And really, after that, you know what? Duke ran Bama out of the building, and this does feel like it's Duke's tournament to win. It really does. Duke around even money right now to win the tournament. It's hard to see them getting beat. It feels like they are last year's UConn. It's just they got pros everywhere. They got the best player on the court in Flag. Malawach is a monster to score on. It feels like now, look, if it ends up being a Duke Florida final, and I can give you the lines here, Duke laying 4.5 to Houston. It does seem a little light, but remember, this game is in San Antonio. This is going to be a pretty much a home game for Houston on Saturday. And then you have Florida right now laying 2.5 to Auburn. I would expect that to go up because of the nature of Broome and his injury that he suffered late against Michigan State, even though he came back in the game. So he's got a week. So he's obviously well enough where he can play, and he's got 4 or 5 days here to recover. So maybe it's not too much of a factor, but to me, Florida's playing better than them anyway. Although you can make the case, you know what, Florida, this is twice now they could have been knocked out. UConn had a chance to finish them off, and it looked like Texas Tech was going to finish what UConn started and finish them off. And Florida, maybe Florida's just a team of destiny here, but I think Florida is slightly better than Auburn. I'm surprised Duke is only laying 4.5 to Houston, but you know that's in Texas. So those are the lines total for Florida Auburn, with Florida laying 2.5 is 161.5, and then Duke laying 4.5, the total is 136.5. I think that's a little high. Both teams play slow. Duke's outstanding defensively, so is Houston. I would expect that to be a little lower. And you're dealing with these big gyms, Final Four, there's some nerves. So I actually like under 136.5 in Duke Houston. That's my favorite of all of these plays. But yeah, all chalk. 2008 was the last time, and the only other time we've gotten all number one seeds. And it's funny, I did my bracket and I had the 3-1 seeds in UC San Diego. Very rarely can you get three of the Final Four right and feel like you didn't have a good bracket. And I did not have a good bracket. It was just one of those years where we've talked about it the last month or so, where four teams, maybe five, where Texas Tech was the fifth, could win it all. But other than that, it's chalk. And even doing my bracket, the first couple times I did it, I had all the ones. I was like, you know, I can't do all the ones. It never happens like that. I don't want to be that guy that does all the ones. I'm going to throw in UC San Diego as a curveball. Well, that first instinct was right, because we got all the ones, and every single favorite won this Sweet 16 weekend. So all the chalk in the first 4 days, and it continued the next 4 days. This is just, it's never going to, I don't think it's going to be like this every year, this extreme, but maybe we're just looking at a new age of the tournament where the top is very much separated from the middle and very much separated from the bottom as well. It's just less parity. Now maybe you get more parity among teams like, you know, 8 through 30 or 8 through 40, but the gap between these power teams, these top 2-3 seeds and the mid-majors, the difference between the 1 seeds and like the 4 or 5 seeds is pretty pronounced, and we're seeing it. I think Duke's going to win the title. I think it's hard to look past Duke with all of their pro talent, their depth. I think he got them a little confidence, got some other guys some confidence when Flag went out in the ACC. They had to play a little shorthanded. They got pros everywhere. So I thought maybe that was like an unsung little benefit for them, that they could realize, hey, we can win without Flag. I know it's Louisville and it's, you know, Georgia Tech and some of these teams, but that was, I think, something that was good for them. And I just think we're looking at Duke's sort of being like last year's UConn. I don't think they're going to blow out Florida like UConn blew out Purdue. I wouldn't think that if it ends up being the matchup, or Auburn. And I don't think they'll embarrass Houston. It's hard to embarrass Houston because they play such good defense. But a game where Houston's competitive and Duke pulls away, wins by double digits, I don't think is far-fetched. And Duke-Florida would be a hell of a match. I mean, we're probably going to get three pretty good games here, I would think. I would hope, because this tournament, just in terms of enjoyment, in terms of drama, it's been pretty low. Like I said, you got Texas Tech-Florida was a really good game. Almost reminded me a little bit of the, for people that are old enough, Illinois-Arizona 2005, where Illinois had a furious comeback in the last couple minutes to eventually win that game. This was very similar, same round, I think same time slot. Felt very reminiscent of just like, what the hell did we just watch? It happened so quickly. But like I said, Texas Tech, Florida was good. Arkansas, Texas Tech Thursday night in the Sweet 16 was good. You know, UConn, Florida had that drama last Sunday. Purdue, Houston, almost a buzzer beater. I don't know that we've had a true buzzer beater yet in this tournament. I don't think that we have. We had Queens for Maryland beating Colorado State, where they did not put time back on the clock. That's the thing. They're so quick to put time back on the clock, it's hard to get a true buzzer beater. But you have not had a ton of drama here, you know, in this tournament. So hopefully we get paid off here by getting the ones and seeing some good games here on the Final Four weekend. As far as the baseball, quickly, the story of the weekend is the Yankee bats. And I mean that literally. Yankees off to a 3-0 start. And these torpedo bats where they take the barrel of the, trying to think of how to explain it, most of the wood, instead of being towards the top middle of the bat, is more down on the bottom near the handle, figuring you have a better chance to get the fat part of the bat. The bat looks very strange. If you see a picture of it, it almost looks like you're looking at a metal bat. The thing is, this got uncovered. It's not like the Yankees are going to have some advantage for long, because I'm already seeing guys on other teams using it. A guy in the Cubs game had it. So these players are not dumb. People, they have internet, they have cable. They're going to see the Yankees hitting all these homers. They're going to say, all right, get me one of these torpedo bats. It's a small sample size, but Yankees hit a million home runs on Saturday, then again on Sunday. You wonder with how well they hit on Saturday and Sunday, what the hell happened on opening day where they only scored four runs? So, if you know from listening to this podcast, Nestor Cortez has never been my favorite guy. The fact that they hit three home runs on the first three pitches against him Saturday was incredible. And then they hit two more off him, four in the first inning. First time in baseball history, a team hits three homers on three pitches, which is just obviously insane. I was listening to her on the radio just thinking, how did this possibly happen? Homer after homer after homer. But Cortez got beat up. Yankees played well. They're 3-0, so maybe they'll be better than people think. Boston, after winning on Thursday versus Texas, a game I talked about in the open on Friday, they lost three in a row to Texas. Texas bounces back, and Devers has been awful. 0 for 16 with 12 strikeouts, I think. And he's been awful. He can't put the ball in play, which is strange. He's such a good hitter. And anyone who's a Yankee fan, just that guy strikes the fear of God into you. So the fact that he's hitting so poorly is obviously strange, and good for Texas. So Texas gets off the mat. They win three in a row. DeGrom, we see him for the first time. Well, he pitched a little bit at the end of last year, but we see him at the first for the first time in a while at the start of a season. 2 years ago, he pitched like 30 innings in April, May before he got shut down. Last year, he got 10 innings towards the end. So maybe, just maybe, we're getting a healthy DeGrom season. Chase Young is already on the DL for Texas, so they were bitten by the injuries last year. We'll see if they can stay healthier this year. So that was a series that I had my eye on. Atlanta is playing as we speak, 0-3, losing to the Padres on the verge of going 0-4. That would be something that's noteworthy, where, it's one weekend, it's not a big deal, but you start to go to like 0-4, 0-5, 2-6, 2-7, that territory. Those are things that take a long time to dig out of. That's quite the hole. So we're not there yet with Atlanta, but Atlanta's one to keep an eye on. As far as the games, Monday we got Twins White Sox Monday afternoon. A bunch of home openers, and these home openers tend to be during the day. So you're going to get, during the first part of baseball season, the first couple of weeks, you get a lot of day games, which I like. Brewers Royals, Brewers on the other end of that Yankee beating, just not inspiring. Their pitching's not very good. Now, who knows how much of this is the Yankees? Who knows how much of this is the bats, and who knows how much is the Brewers just aren't that good? But a concerning start from Milwaukee. Colorado, Philly's home opener. Boston in Baltimore. That's an interesting little series from an AL East perspective. Povich going against Newcomb. That's Monday, 3:05 Eastern. Mets, who somehow were off on Sunday, play the Marlins. And those are all the earlier games. Rangers, Reds. Reds not off to a great start. A lot of team people like. So it's great to have it back. It's great to have it back. And I think the Yankee bats, literally the Yankee bats, are the story of the first 3 or 4 days here. Braves, Dodgers, an early fun series. So it's just, once it's here, it's every day. There's so much to bet on. There's just so many ways to bet this stuff. You bet inning to inning, game to game. This is just, it's great to have it back, and it goes so long. It takes, I mean, think about when the season ends. When the season just started, when this season ends, we are going to be in like, week seven, week eight of an NFL season. A lot of teams in the NFL, their season will be over by the time this ends, basically not officially over, but to the point where they can't make the playoffs. Some of these bad teams that start 2-6 or 1-5. I mean, it makes you realize how long baseball goes when you think you're going to have an NFL draft, an NBA draft, an entire NBA playoffs, an entire NBA start again, an NFL training camp preseason, about half the season in the NFL. And baseball will just be wrapping up, around Halloween, early November. So excited for it. Excited to talk to Chris Felica. That is next. This is Should a Bit More Podcast. All right, we are back. Should a Bit More Podcast. You can catch me at Fox Sports, the Bear Betts podcast, where I taught him everything I know, continue to teach him everything I know. It is the great Chris Felica, the Bear. Bear, what's going on, man?
Oh, not a heck of a lot. It was a trying weekend for your boy here. The Texas Tech Florida game just took all the steam out of me. I was emotionally done after that. I had Texas Tech plus 550 to win the region. I had Texas Tech 19-1 to reach the final. I had Texas Tech 31-1 to win the whole thing. I had name the finalists: Texas Tech versus
Oh.
Duke at like 38-1. Texas Tech versus Houston at like 48-1. So yeah, that game just it killed my will to. I had Texas Tech in a big survival pool that I was in where going into Saturday's games, I was 36th of a lot of people, and 26 people in front of me had Florida, and I had Texas Tech, so I would have been at worst 10th going into Sunday, where I would have picked Houston, and then I would have had Duke and Auburn available to me for or and Michigan State as well if Michigan State would have won. But yeah, it was a rough week. Oh, and oh, by the way, the 65-1 on Cornucopia that I had for the Kentucky Derby futures, he got caught up in a speed duel with a terrible ride by the jockey, so he will not be running in the Kentucky Derby. So basically,
Oh, I didn't know that. Damn it.
it was a lot. It was a kind of a shitty weekend for your boy here.
I didn't know that. That's
Yeah,
news to me and unpleasant
yeah,
news to me. I Jeez, that has some
yeah.
nice numbers on that. So
Yeah,
you're the
I was telling Gil about
yes.
on a numbers game and everyone else, and he, yeah, it was not a good day on Saturday at all.
See if I can ask for a refund here. He's not running. I need a refund.
No, exactly. Yeah, unfortunately, you got that little stipulation that says
Yeah.
all bets are action,
Yeah,
which is
it's funny
great.
how that works, but sometimes you're ahead of the news and you bet an award and that thing gets deleted due to a bad line
Yeah,
and there's no
exactly.
stipulation that way. I'm guessing by your tone, by the way, that you didn't get any of Florida 6-7 to 1 on the money line with a few minutes left. Might get murdered.
No, I did not. We were talking at the end of the game. Like, no one you didn't see it coming.
You kind of
I
did
mean,
though when
Tech
they.
was the better team for 37 minutes, and you brought up the perfect analogy that it was just like that Arizona Illinois game in 2005, where game's over. I mean, Arizona had dominated the game, and it was over, and somehow Illinois came back and won. But yeah, there was nothing in the first 37 minutes of the game that really made you believe that Tech was going to lose. The long rebound, it was 9, and they had the long rebound on a missed
You
three.
called it at that moment, though.
Yeah,
You were on top of
that you
it.
grab a rebound, the game is over.
Yep. But you said it. You said, man, get a rebound there. The game's over. And look, you and I are both wired the same. We're always trying to figure out how we're going to lose our bet. And we're assuming the worst is going to happen. I didn't think at the moment it was that big a deal. But when you look back, you know what? If you have the ball at 9, you're able to run the clock. Who knows what transpires differently. And obviously the free throws, the made threes, I thought Harlan really undersold just the magnitude of what
Oh,
the hell
yeah.
was happening
I
and
felt that
how
way too.
bizarre it was. But yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, because it was just like surreal. Like, what? And then the great play. I mean, look, give Clayton credit, man. That was a hell of a play where they sealed off the drive to the lane. He stepped back and knocked down the three, and that was a hell of a shot. Tech didn't make the free throws, and that was a that is a program team
Oh.
soul crushing all time defeat for a program that. Who the hell knows when you're ever going to have an opportunity to get back to the Final Four? Like you win that game and you're in it against an Auburn team now that maybe would have been who knows what's going to happen with Jani Broome with his elbow. I mean, that looked a hell of a lot worse than I wasn't expecting to see him come back in the game. But for those of it was funny. I was joking because I got great numbers from earlier from preseason. I got Auburn at 30-1. I got Houston at 18-1. Now all I got to do is beat Florida and beat Duke to have those tickets live into the championship game where I can make some money. So yeah, I'm in a great spot, to tongue in cheek.
Oh, sorry. I mean, look, you could be in worse spots. Those are tickets that I'm sure you're happy to have. Speaking of those games, initial thoughts on the numbers. Houston laying 4.5. Duke laying 4.5 to Houston, total 136.5. I could see an under there. I just think both teams play slow. Duke plays great defense. Houston plays good defense. So 4.5, 136.5, and then Florida laying 2.5 with a total of 161.5. Is there anything, if you had nothing in pocket, is there anything you're cutting in line to bet in terms of those
Not,
four
nothing to
lines?
cut in line to bet. I'm surprised both games feel like the favorite is a little cheap, a little short. And I tweeted about that earlier. Like I would have thought that in the Florida Auburn game, with the way Florida has beaten them in the regular season, at the time you didn't know what Broome status is going to be, and Baker Mazzari played a terrible game, and he's always nicked up, falling all over the place. But I would have thought that you're going to see a steady stream of Florida money at the open, and the number was going to move anyway. Maybe by the time people hear this podcast, it will. So, I was going back and forth with you, and I texted a couple of other odds makers as well. I'm like, if your power ratings say two, why don't you open it at three, knowing that you're probably gonna get Florida money, just avoid the avalanche and maybe get a little bit of two-way from the start. But it looks like most places did open up 2.5, and we'll see if that goes to three, 3.5, where I would expect it to. So if you like Florida, if you like the favorite, which the way this tournament's going so far, it's been a favorite tournament. You bet them. But if you like Auburn and you're looking for a reason to play Auburn, I wouldn't play them yet. And I think the Duke line is even shorter than the Florida line. Like I know Houston is playing in San Antonio, and yeah, it's in their home state, but that's not going to be the way the tickets are distributed for that. It's not like a Houston home game. Maybe if they get to Monday night, it might matter. But the way that the ticket, the lottery, and the raffle, it's not going to be like this pro Houston massive home court advantage. But I thought Duke opened in 4.5 with how good and how dominant Duke has been in the tournament so far. I thought that was really, really cheap, like to the point where it would give me pause and caution to bet Duke right now, because it seems really, really light. And again, maybe I read too much into stuff like that, and that's a flaw that I have, kind of just interpreting the number. But it's almost like, okay, go ahead and lay the 4.5 against a Houston team that defends and might be able to punch Duke in the mouth. Who the hell knows?
Nothing else we should, I would think, get three pretty good games here, the two semis and then the championship.
I'd hope
I
so.
would hope so too.
I can't remember though. The only other time we got the 4-1 seeds in the Final Four, the two semifinal games sucked, right? The two semifinal games sucked, and the championship game was good, if I remember correct, right?
That was the year Kansas beat Memphis. That was the famous, I was just talking about this with Dustin Sweetelson doing VEASAN Live. That was the famous game where Kansas took a big lead on Carolina, and Billy Packer goes, "This game is over.
Oh,
This
that's
game
right.
is over." The
Yep.
first half, and then they came back and either tied or took the lead, and Kansas eventually won, but that game ended up being close. I don't remember. I think the other Final Four game was Memphis UCLA was the earlier game. I don't remember how that game went, so I can look that up right now. This is inevitable for Duke. Duke is last year's UConn, and they're just going to steam through these teams. They've got too much talent for everybody, or not necessarily.
I don't think not. I'm going to say not necessarily. You could tell me on Monday night any one of these four teams won, and I wouldn't be surprised. Like would I be? Who would you be the most surprised if they won? Would it be Houston, or would it be Auburn? Would be my guesses, right?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you the same thing. Houston, because they have to start with Duke and then get another like gauntlet of a game. Not that any of these games are easy. Auburn, I just don't, with Broome, and they haven't looked the part. So I toss up between Auburn and Florida. I'd probably say I wouldn't be shocked if any of them won, but I'd probably be the most surprised by Auburn. I think if Houston beat Duke, I think Houston might win it. But I don't know.
I agree.
It makes for a good one. And 78-63 was that final Memphis UCLA. So two of the three games were pretty good.
Yeah,
The other one was.
and that's the thing I was going to say. Like, I think the fact that Auburn, not Auburn, Houston has to play Duke, I think that's a brutally tough game, and that probably would make it more surprising, and make Houston, of the four teams there, probably the longest of the four shots. But again, hopefully we get two good games on Saturday, and then a really good championship game, because these Final Four games have been lacking last year, and title game was not really close either. So we'll see what
Wow.
happens.
So Kansas in that game, not that anyone cares, 2008, Kansas got up 40-12 in that game, but Carolina made a run. Kansas eventually won by 18, but Carolina made a run. I want to say they tied it or took the lead. I'm looking for
Yeah.
the play-by-play here. They did get as close as four. I'm seeing five. I don't think they ever quite took a lead, but Jim Nantz will be at the game Houston, this Houston game. What over under for a Jim Nantz shots in terms of CBS? 3.5, 4.5. What's a fair number?
I'm gonna say 3.5 is a good one. You'll get one right off the bat. You'll get one, and then you'll get one potentially on like how the game is going. Maybe if the game reverses itself, you'll get the third, and then who the hell knows? Three and a half would be. I love that tweet, by the way, that the whomever it went off, it was the NCAA or someone put out there on Sunday, like for the Houston celebration, and Nance is on the court and he's kind of milling about, and Kelvin's like inviting him over to be in the picture, and it's like, oh no, and like, no, Kelvin, come on. Well, if you say so, okay, I'll twist my arm, I'll come over and be in the team picture. But well, he is a massive Houston Cougars fan, obviously, and went to school there, and he and Freddie Couples. So it's been a few years coming for them. They had really good opportunities in the last few years, and injuries did them in. I was happy to see them. Not that I was rooting against Tennessee or anything, but I was happy to see Houston come out on Sunday and play the way that they have most of the year. That game on Friday was ugly. Just shots weren't falling. They blew a big lead, survived, and to see them
Poorly
come back.
officiated too. The refs both ways were awful in that game. Awful.
Terrible. But yeah, I would love. I know Bruce Pearl from working with him when he was with ESPN for a long, long time, and I've kind of kept in touch with him just on text and stuff. I've bumped into him a couple times at the SEC tournament when I was working that, and I'd love to see him win a title. I also would love to see Kelvin Sampson and this Houston team win, because they kind of. I love. I'm old. Like, I'm old school. I'm not the like the get off your lawn guy, but I love the fact that Kelvin Sampson coaches his team hard. I love that they want to be coached hard. I love that they don't care about who's getting the points that day. I love that they defend. I love that they rebound. I love all that stuff. So I would love to see if we get a Houston Auburn final on Monday night, I would be a happy, happy man.
Baseball. Any takeaways from the first 3 or 4 days? And what I guess the big story is these bats with the Yankees, which I kind of saw. I saw a tweet. Matt Youman sent me the tweet Saturday afternoon. Said, all right, they're using different bats. Kind of went one ear and out the other. And
Same.
coupled with all of the home runs, this has turned into this enormous story. I mean, the secrets don't stay secrets forever. So these other teams are going to start to do it. My guess would be the advantage is going to be mitigated. But I don't know your thoughts on that and anything else baseball related these
Yeah,
first 3 days.
when I saw that, I was a little surprised too. I'm like, and people are like, are they cheating? Like, no, I mean, these bats, I'm sure, have to be clear. It's like Wonder Boy. Yeah, if it's the league standards, we'll let you use it in the game. But good for them for taking. I mean, you talk about all these other sports that you're taking advantage of technology, but yeah, I think the Yankees came out and just absolutely annihilated the Brewers. That was a little bit surprising to me, but good. It'd be a good season. I think I'm a little bummed that I did play the Reds season win total under before the year. Like, all we heard all off season was Reds, Red Sox, Reds, Red Sox. They were like the buzz teams, and to see the Red Sox lose 3 or 4, like, maybe I didn't get down on a Red Sox season win total under soon enough. I probably should have. I wonder if these games are adjusted, the wins are adjusted a game or so based on what happened earlier in the season. But I'd be looking at Reds and Red Sox under. I would be looking potentially to see what prices are. I think I saw at DraftKings 16-1. I don't know if FanDuel or anyone else has a posted, like, Angels to be the worst team in the league. They don't look good at all. Maybe the White Sox are not as terrible as everybody thought they would be. The Marlins were okay against a bad Pittsburgh team. Maybe Pirates under would be a way to go. There was so much hope and optimism with Skeens and O'Neill Cruz, but they don't look to be a team that's going to threaten the postseason. But I think Angels 16-1, or if you can find a better price out there, maybe worst record in the league would be something to look at. And our Rangers bet looks, I mean, at least early on, winning 3 out of 4. I mean, who knows how many starts you're going to get out of DeGrom, but he looked good on Sunday, so that was a positive start to the year as well.
I hope
Any,
just
anything? What were your What were your takeaways from the start?
I mean, my big thing was the bats with the Yankees and how sustainable like that. I wonder if like you have an idea and you know it's going to be so good. First of all, I don't know. Did they use them during spring training? Like, isn't that something we would have heard of before?
I would have thought so.
Wouldn't you kind of save it for like the playoffs or give yourself, don't give the league a rest of a chance. If you think you have an edge, just kind of use them. I don't know. Just kind of be subtle about it. The fact that you break them out in April, now everyone's going to start doing it. I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
I mean, at the same point, would you really want to like get to the postseason and use whatever traditional
Right.
bats you've been using all year? And that's what we
Right.
do. And then the biggest crunch time of the season, here we go. We're gonna use these now, even though we
Sure.
haven't used them all year long. So who knows?
Yeah, I hope from a, just, I mean, we have the Rangers' future. I hope from just, even like a baseball fan standpoint, DeGrom, it's famous last words. I hope, I think maybe he can stay healthy just because he was relatively injury free until 3 or 4 years ago. Then it just seemed like one injury led to another and he never had the surgery. He kept putting off, I'm going to rest. I'm going to miss a couple months. Maybe the surgery cleaned up everything. If like he's a guy, he didn't pitch much in college, he didn't have a lot of innings on the arm. You know, he's an athletic guy that seems like a pretty effortless motion. Maybe I'm just hoping it's the case, but maybe we can get like a good 3, 4 years that are relatively healthy for DeGrom and throw Trout in there too. These are just guys, you know, as fans, you want to see these guys in their prime. It's just a waste that, you know, you get 3, 4 years of these guys just completely wiped out like you have with DeGrom and with Trout.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with the full shutdown, rest, nothing. Is when you had a little bit, you have a little bit of an injury, and you're trying to play through it. You're kind of tweaking your motion, tweaking the way you throw, doing this to kind of eliminate some, or mask some of the other pain that you have, and you're really screwing everything up. So it's a good point. I mean, maybe this will be a situation where you see him get right. So but be good for the game. Hey, what I don't know when this is going to be posted, but if it's up by Monday, I wonder what the price on UConn to win the women's title is right now, because they're a massive favorite over
It
USC
was plus 150, 160 or so heading into the
still.
Sweet 16. I mean, I wouldn't think it would move with one win. So, I mean, you're maybe getting slight plus money, even money. I mean, you get the idea. Like 120,
Yeah,
130. Is that enough for you or no?
it is.
Okay.
It is. I mean, they'll beat USC, and then Texas TCU, one of those will be, and then you probably get four ones in the women's tournament as well, just like you get the four ones in the men's. Like, but South Carolina doesn't look like they're the same team that they've been in the past. We're very, very fortunate to survive the last two games to get to the Final Four. So, I think UConn is the best team, and they have the best player now that Juju Watkins is hurt. But yeah, if you can get plus money on UConn, I would certainly take it, because they'll be favored over anybody who they play.
Yeah, what's a UConn South Carolina line if that ends up being the game?
I'll say UConn 3.5, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I mean, maybe, I don't know, you think maybe more
I
based on
don't
what
know.
happened in the
You
regular
would know
season,
better
maybe
than
it
me, I'm
might be a
not
little more than
sure.
that.
You would know better than me, so.
I'm just guessing. I'm
Yeah.
just throwing shit against the wall.
Yeah, and it'd be good. It'd be cool to see Oriyama get one final one. I mean, it was so long that it was just a foregone conclusion that they win every year now. I mean, going almost a decade without him winning one, it would feel kind of right for him to maybe get the final
And they
cherry on
were
top here.
and they were in the game with Iowa last year, and
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if they would have beaten South Carolina had they gotten to the championship game. But yeah, it would be a nice way for Paige Bueckers to end her career too, coming back from injuries and sticking it out, and listen to me breaking down
I
women's
know.
college basketball. I'm in the college basketball capital of the world here, you and I, in the state of Connecticut.
It's like I had Ellie Duncan on the podcast. I mean, this is really just outstanding stuff. Last couple, have you bet any draft stuff yet? I feel like it's
There's
sneaking up.
nothing out
There's nothing to
there.
bet, right? There's nothing to,
No,
yeah.
like little you and I have the same outs that have stuff posted. It's the
Yeah.
ridiculous price on who's
Ward,
going to go
yeah.
number one, who is the first quarterback. What I'm waiting for, a couple of things. I'm waiting on a prop on number of quarterbacks to go in the first round. I'm curious if they're going to post 2.5 or 3.5 or whatever it is, because I will go over 2.5 very confidently. I want to see, like, We all pretty much, I think, are in agreement that Cam Ward's going to be the first quarterback off the board. I want to see what type of price is out there on Jackson Dart to be the second quarterback off the board. And I want to see if there's a market out there on a team to draft Cam Ward as well, because I think there could be some things in play there where maybe it wouldn't be Tennessee.
Interesting. What
Yeah.
would that be?
Potentially could be the Cleveland Browns. I've heard
So give me that scenario again. So Cleveland gets up to one to
Cleveland potentially gets up to one to do it, or they maybe all of what Tennessee is doing in Miami right now with Cam Ward and going back down there for a second private workout is kind of a bluff to try and make Cleveland think that they're taking him and
interesting.
kind of offer, okay, well, you're going to have to trade up to get him. And then maybe Tennessee doesn't take him. Maybe they do. But yeah, no, I just heard some things through the grapevine that the Browns really, really like Cam Ward, and who knows? Maybe they'll be the ones trading up to pick him.
You
So yeah,
would.
I'm waiting on those things to post, and I'm gonna do a little recon on. I'd love to know what the Jets are thinking right now too. Like,
Jalen
stop. Stop. Yeah, like, do you take Tyler Warren? Do you take? Do you like? I know Jeff was pretty sure on the kid from LSU being the first offensive lineman off the board, but the way he measured and the way he tested and between Mimbo and Banks, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's the first lineman taken anymore.
Jeff just makes stuff up sometimes. We know
He
that.
does.
That's what he
He's throw it
does.
against the wall. What does he
Yeah.
know about offensive line play?
No, I agree. And
Sure.
it's funny. Two things. You would think the Browns. You would think Garrett, who was making a big fuss. Why am I going to play here? I have no quarterback. I can't win. You would think maybe there was some. I know they threw a ton of money at him. That they probably said, "All right, here's the money, but we'll get you a court. We're going to draft the quarterback." Maybe there's some unspoken thing. And
Yeah.
I went on Mike Palm's Bet on Chicago show on last Thursday or Friday, and I was like, "Are you guys posting any draft?" Like, "Nope, not interested." The week of the draft, we'll post it for 3 or 4 days, and we'll take it down. He's like, "We lose every year. There, it's 2 times. It's just they have no interest in posting this stuff." So I don't know.
God,
Some of our sources have gone elsewhere.
God forbid you post something that maybe you're not going to win, and then you let the player win, and you know what? They're going to come back, and they're gonna just bet that right back with you. So it just makes no sense. Speaking of football, I bet Florida State under 7.5 wins. I know that is at FanDuel. They have that posted right now. I think it was either -125 or -130. But this is a Florida State team that I still think, I mean, has some issues off of an absolutely embarrassing season last year. I don't know if Thomas Castellanos is the answer at quarterback. I know they're all excited about Gus Malzahn being there, but they got offensive line problems. I don't think this is a good team. You look at non-conference, you've got Florida, you've got Alabama, you've got ACC road games at Miami, Clemson, and NC State, in addition to all those other conference games that you couldn't win last year. I don't know how much better they're going to be. They kind of put all their eggs in the basket of, well, I guess 2023, and then the unfortunate injury to Jordan Travis, and we all know what happened there. And they were kind of left with their pants down for 2024. But under 7.5 wins for Florida State was something that I had jumped on for. I don't think I didn't think I was got. I thought there was more a better chance that this was going to go to 7 than it was going to go to 8. So that's why I just took the 7.5.
How much of your college football work have you done? I've done zero.
Not a ton. I kind of looked at a little bit at just some of the win totals that were posted, and that was the one that immediately stuck out. A lot of the schedules are like kind of the flip from last year, where you've got the same game that you had last year just on the road, if they were or the different sites. So like Georgia now has Texas at home, and the other games are
Am I
on
at
the road.
home, probably?
Yeah, Ole Miss at home, like it's like that. So
Okay.
you just gotta factor that in. But I mean, in terms of like looking at teams to win, like you can make a case for, I think, a bunch of teams, probably say Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame, Texas, Georgia, like it's the same group of teams that you had. So like, it's really hard to focus in on anything right now. I think as this talked about this as well. Like I got Georgia plus 450 like December prior to last season, thinking that oh it's going to be the shortest that they're going to be, or the longest they're going to be, and by the end of September there were like 650s out there. So I'm not looking to jump into the market yet. I am looking to see what the Wisconsin win total is going to be as well. I haven't seen that one posted yet, but they are going to be a dead under team as well. I wonder if they post 6.5 or 6 on that, because their schedule is brutal, and I don't think they have much talent there at all. But they missed a bowl last year, and I think there's a really good chance that they miss a bowl this year. And I know they kind of gave Luke Fickell an extension or redid his deal, but that could be an interesting situation to watch. The way he handled a transfer of a kid, that a defensive back that went into the portal, and they didn't put him into the portal officially. They thought Miami tampered, and it's really affected his recruiting there. So I'd be looking at a Wisconsin under as well, and I'm curious to see what that gets posted at.
Yeah, it feels like it's a lifetime away, but I mean, we're creeping up on April, May, June, July, and then all of a sudden you're on. So it's, I mean, we're not there, but it'll be here before you probably realize it'll come quicker than you.
Masters coming up as well. Be curious to see what happens there. Yeah, I'm that was the other thing that happened to me on Friday. I bet Scheffler at like plus 210 or whatever it was, and by the end of Friday he was super short, and then goes out and I think made one birdie or whatever on Saturday, and then came up a shot short today of a playoff, but to Minwoo Lee. So it was a lovely weekend here in Farmington for sure.
These they happen to everybody. So
Yeah.
they make the good weekends even sweeter. Bear,
They
appreciate it,
do.
man.
They do. Absolutely,
Well,
bud. Do all.
all right, Fox Sports, Chris F. Chris Felica, what else can you promote this fine podcast?
Exactly. That's really about it. Bear bets, columns, pods, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. By the way, we got the crown coming up
To crown.
on Monday and Tuesday. We'll be doing some hits for that too in the pregame and halftime.
Oh, you're going to be on during that?
Yeah,
I didn't know that. You didn't tell
no,
me that.
they just during the pregame and halftime. So I'm sure they'll ask me some for
So we
some.
get Utah and Butler, 3 o'clock Eastern here, and then we get the Bears somewhere, George Washington, Boise State.
I think George, I think GW boys. Let me look here. What
You buried the lead. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's just gonna be during the halftime. Where is the email from?
And that is what, a 1 week event? There's college basketball for people who don't realize,
Yeah,
which
I'm
is.
on Stephen Monty Monday, 7:30 p.m. So I'm on after GW Boise. And then we'll talk Crown, and then we'll talk Final Four.
Are you prepped? Are you prepped for this crown?
No.
Are you going to talk about?
I'll do a little reading and research tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, just a
Okay.
little segment. We'll be all
All right.
right.
All right, Bear. Appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon.
All right,
Thanks. All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you to the Bear, Chris Felica. The picks, once again, under 136.5, Duke and Houston. And you know what? I'll add Duke minus the 4.5. I know the game's in Texas, but I'll put my money behind Duke and hope for the best here, as I think that number would go up if anything does look a little light. But we'll be back Wednesday, Final Four, baseball pretty soon, NBA playoffs, Masters not that far away. So, try to leave us a review on Apple, Spotify. We'll see you then.